Today is Wednesday, June 26th, and we're here with more news for you to enjoy on this fine day.
It's mostly business news?
It's rare that we'll be doing a business section that's all about Facebook.
Oh, what a treat.
Yeah, but this is the big story. A light news week. And this was overwhelmingly the big story because everybody's excited about Libra.
Calibra. I don't know.
That's actually very similar to the default font name in Windows, which
Calibra
is
the wallet.
Yeah. Facebook's Calibra is a secret weapon for monetizing its new cryptocurrency. The newly formed subsidiary will build Facebook's digital wallet. And if you missed the news yesterday, a lot of governments are real upset about this.
So,
especially Europe.
Libra is the cryptocurrency. Now, Facebook is going to create it, but they don't say that they want to control it.
That's this organization.
It's going to be weighted against a basket of currencies. Now, I don't think this is going to be a...
Not really technically controlled. This is just the wallet company.
Yeah, so Facebook is going to own the wallet company.
Yeah. But you can totally take the spec and build your own wallet. That's a thing.
Yeah, yeah. So this company is going to develop apps and stuff like that and lets you integrate your apps with Libra. And that's how Facebook's going to make money off of it.
You should scroll down a little bit so you can see some of the screenshots.
What could go wrong?
Let's scroll down.
So we can see.
For once, we don't have a paywall. There's some phones.
It's going to be so easy to send Eddie $95.
Here's some money for the month.
I'm sorry, take 95 care. Euro?
Or take care,
no, that's
heart.
Libra. Libra.
There's another one that's like terrifying where it's like, thanks, Dad, for some money. I think, yeah. It's just like, can you imagine just sending money like through? They're like as easy as a text message.
You mean like people have been dealing with Bitcoin?
I know, but it makes me nervous. Facebook makes me nervous.
I can't wait for the new wave of Facebook scams. That's like, hello, dear friend that I have not talked to in 3 years.
Yes,
I'm currently traveling abroad and I have lost my wallet. Can you urgently please send me some money?
And
please?
That will definitely happen. And then we'll do an article about it like a year from now.
You know who this is going to be huge for? Facebook thoughts.
Facebook isn't really a thought platform.
Oh, it will be because, well, I guess Instagram will have this too because, you know, it's Facebook.
Yeah.
And you'll have a little Libra button right there on your Instagram and they can connect with you.
Yeah.
And give you money directly.
Yeah, yeah. See, because Facebook, you know, you got your grandma on there. You don't want her to see your thoughtery. You do it on Instagram where it's a little more removed.
Now, if you are an avid follower of the Level 1 News, there may be alarm bells going off in the back of your head. Wait a minute. Aren't there some countries that are becoming vehemently anti-crypto? And you would be getting a free cookie because good job.
Yeah, we just found out that you can get, well, they haven't passed it yet, but a proposed bill, 10 years in prison for anything remotely close to a cryptocurrency in India. And Facebook looked at that and said, hey, we're not launching in India.
Calibra wallet is not going to launch in Facebook's biggest market, which is India, because things are taking off in India. Remember, like, the VPN thing? Like, they were doing the VPN, like, the free phone service. They're like, in the developing world, we could subsidize better devices, or we could do this or that and the other, and make money on these, you know, nascent markets that are emerging.
Yeah, Facebook wanted to give them free internet. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they were like, no, thank you, Mr. Zuckerberg. We know that poison pill. And they seem to feel the same way about Libra. So, who knows?
India.
Who knows what'll happen? And I also did that thing with Amazon. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Amazon can't. Like, Amazon tried to outmaneuver them, and then it was just like, oh.
So, that's, you know, the foreign government. So, we know the EU has already had their problems with the Libra. What about our government?
Rep. Maxine Waters has asked Facebook to pause work on cryptocurrency. They got to see the picture. The picture is amazing. She's just like,
she looks very unimpressed.
Disappointed.
I have had enough of you, Mr. Zuckerberg. That's what that face
real communicated. Real tired of your shit, Mark. So yeah, she's saying that they need more time to look into it, figure out what's going to go on, what a risk it might be. So she's saying, please. No, with no weight of authority behind it exactly, but just saying, why don't you just stop doing that?
Put a pause on that. And they responded with, yes, we will be happy to answer any questions that lawmakers may have.
Yeah, right.
But we're not stopping.
Yeah, that's basically what they diplomatically said, shut up, you old bat.
That's the politician translator, or the business speak translator.
Huawei, as we have learned, has not been doing great since the Trump ban. And so bad that they came after Verizon, trying to, you know, collect some shekels from them because they're like, bro, we really pay us for these patents. And why would they do that? Why would they take that step? Maybe because of this.
Huawei says that the U.S. ban is hurting more than expected. It's going to wipe $30 billion off revenue. So
it's a lot of zeros.
It turns out that because the U.S. has taken this stance, a lot of other people don't voluntarily want to do business with Huawei. So, of course, it's really hurting the bottom line.
It sucks. It's like when the most popular girl turns against you, and then none of the other girls will hang out with you.
Didn't this happen? Is this the article that mentioned about ZTE that was like, the U.S. had a problem with ZTE, and then ZTE just disappeared?
But they were much smaller. So it will take Huawei longer to bleed out. But will they?
Probably now, I alluded to our previous story. Our next story in the previous episode. Because I'm an idiot and I forgot which episode it was in.
I'm kind of horrified because I agree with some of these talking points.
I kind of do too, so don't feel bad. EA says they're not loot boxes. They are surprise mechanics. And they are quite ethical. So, yeah, he was talking about loot boxes before lawmakers, and the rep for EA, they've hired a brilliant individual, apparently, and they're like, look, no, gamers really like surprises when they play, and these loot boxes, it's a surprise mechanic, although he didn't use the word loot box.
Well, he's saying they're not loot boxes, specifically.
Yeah. It's part of a surprise mechanic
now,
we've monetized.
I don't agree with any of that. I think they are loot boxes. I think they're horrible, and I don't think they're ethical.
No.
But I do agree with some of the stuff he says about people have been doing business like this for decades.
Yeah.
There are a lot of products which you can buy only to find out after you open it whether or not you got anything of value.
Yeah, just like the Kinder Egg or
collectible cards.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Now, people will argue against that and be like, well, you got a physical item with that, not a digital item. What is a video game?
Yeah.
Yep. It's digital. That's the world we live in. So, what is a Libra? That is value, right?
This is the first time that these items have been super popular, though, because, like, Magic the Gathering, it's like, oh, man, you get a Black Lotus.
Yeah.
Like, people cared.
It was just the nerds.
The Pokemon cards, I would say, would probably be closer.
They figured out the formula. Like, whatever the thing is that pushes the button in your brain, they got to. And now it's mainstream.
Yeah. And so, the problem is the nerds, you know, they all had jobs. They could afford it. But now you've got people who are just, you know, like, they got five kids and they're spending all their money on FIFA boxes. FIFA was one of the big ones they brought up. Because the normies love FIFA. You know, maybe not in America, but
international normies. No, very popular. Yeah.
Yeah. And so perhaps a group of people who have never experienced this before.
Yeah. Oh, man, I got to get the jersey for my favorite player, so-and-so. It's like, yes. I mean,
we grew up with Magic the Gathering. So we got burned early on. And I was like, oh.
You didn't have a lot of money to spend.
Wait a minute. I remember that feeling, but I also have this callus now. And so I'm not going to fall for that again. But then these new people are like, oh, shiny boxes.
This pack of cards had more than twice as many lands as it's supposed to have. This is a statistical improbability.
So, yeah. And the other argument that I agree with is they're like, hey, people like these. I think people do like them.
Yeah.
Because not only will people buy them compulsively, they'll watch people open them on Twitch.
That's what I don't... I never get that. I have like 400 loot boxes just from my regular playtime in Overwatch. I don't open them because I don't care about loot
people
boxes.
People are salivating right now.
Yeah. Well, they freak out when we're on Twitch and we play Overwatch and they're like, Krista, open your loot box. And I'm like... Why? Like, I already have most of the skins I want. And they're like, just open them. I want to watch you open them.
Listen to that.
I wonder if what the contents of the box are determined when the box is created or when you open them.
Oh, someone did a post about that once. I think it's when it's
purely
created.
Random.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, it has to be because...
there's event loot boxes.
Yeah, they do special events.
Yeah.
Like the loot boxes that I had in PUBG have disappeared, finally. Because I had to buy keys to open them, and I never did that.
You know what else is going to disappear? PUBG.
RIP. It was fun while it lasted.
Was it?
We had good times playing PUBG. We got some endorphins
from
that.
Yeah.
You know what? We got endorphins from PUBG the same way people get endorphins from opening FIFA loot boxes. It's the same thing.
It kind of is.
We threw away our money. In return, we got some experiences. AT&T AT&T was under the gun from the government because they took a lot of money and they didn't build a lot of fiber. So they said, all right, we're going to do it. We're going to hire a bunch of people and we're going to build a lot of fiber. And they kind of did. But now they've met their government mandated requirement, barely. So what are they going to do?
AT&T cuts another 1,800 jobs as it finishes the fiber internet build-out. So this 1,800 jobs they're cutting is in addition to the 23,000 that AT&T has cut since December 2017. Now, they told shareholders they were going to spend like $23.1 billion this year because they needed to upgrade their infrastructure, and that was to keep the lawmakers at bay. They actually spent like a half a billion dollars less than last year, which was like $21 billion or $22 billion. So it happened exactly like we said it would, which is they're going to be terrible.
Two things you can do if you're one of these 1,800 people, right? They have a program called Follow the Work. The Follow the Work program, the way that works is it's like, okay, you're a line tech. We figured out that we have line tech jobs in Nebraska. So I know you live in Virginia, but you're going to move to Nebraska, right? So that's option A. Option B is you're a line tech, but we don't really need line techs. You're going to go to a call center. We're going to recycle you into a different AT&T job. Neither of them sound all that great, but them's the breaks.
I can't believe they've shed 27. It's not like, do you live in America? Does your house have AT&T fiber outside? If the answer to those questions is no, they're not done yet.
Yeah. And also, I don't think these people should be surprised, because if you work for AT&T and something like this happens, you're going to man, I didn't think this was going to happen when I came to the Death Star.
We're such a good company here.
Those rebels almost blew us up. One of these days, they're going to succeed.
You know, they're asking me to put myself in danger to finish these TIE fighters? I don't think that's right.
Are we the bad guys?
Windows 10, you have to say, as awful as Windows is, and you know, we all know the meme, they've actually been doing some interesting things lately. They got the, you know, the Linux going into it, and okay, we've got that whole software as a service thing. That's bad.
Yeah.
But then we got stuff like this.
Windows 10 yields more secrets. Microsoft plans to split the OS from the shell, and that sort of takes shape. So this is like the Action Center is becoming its own thing that can be updated independently of like the OS, which perhaps will make sense as like the one Windows kernel will run on tablets and desktops and all kinds of other stuff. It's going to give them some Mac OS-like functionality in terms of portability for apps across devices.
Augmented reality. Maybe on a smart TV. Can you imagine having to have a TV with enough storage to keep Windows updated? And Windows is not the only one who are doing some core updates to their operating system.
Apple's first four iOS apps for Mac are getting an upgrade. Now it needs it most. Oh, I guess. Because they're going to get an update.
News is the app. News is the app that needs it most.
Oh, yeah, I can't read.
Sometimes, like, you read these headlines and, like, you realize halfway through that your cadence is wrong, and it's like, oh.
The story was not very exciting.
No, it was not. Mac OS, the thing that's exciting here is Mac OS is going to be able to run iOS apps, which is people have been asking for the better part of, like, a decade?
Well, it already could. It could run these four.
Yeah.
But they were just the same garbage that you had on the phone.
Yeah.
So they're going to improve them.
And open it up where developers can run whatever. That's going to come with Catalina. So.
And now we move into the...
There's actually a lot to that, but it's fine.
We move into the security section of the program. In which...
Nothing is secure.
Every story starts out with something terrible and ends with just patch.
Patch it.
Just install the patches.
Oracle issues an emergency update to patch actively exploited WebLogic flaw. So this screenshot is of somebody running a command to get calculator to run on the WebLogic server. That's how bad it is. So you need to patch, like yesterday. If you haven't already patched, you already hacked.
Total.
Oh, sorry. Wendell.
Go ahead.
Wendell just wanted to include the story to crap on Oracle. That's all I had to say.
Well, total compromise. They can run whatever they want. So
neat.
It's real bad.
Thanks, Oracle.
And it's been patched. If for whatever reason you don't want to patch it, you can turn off some of these services to combat it. Not sure why you would do that. And the ping of death. We've heard of that before, right? It's when you reach out and you give those bad packets and you cause bad things. And now we have another example.
Sad sack. Linux PC servers and gadgets may be crashed by the ping of death. No, this is not a repeat from 1995. So it's a sack. And this, on FreeBSD, it could cause a denial of service because it causes the kernel to do some stuff that takes a long time for it to do. But on other machines, it will actually cause a crash. So yeah. Patch. This like, goes back like 10 years.
Fills up a buffer or something with those acknowledgement requests. So probably won't do any lasting damage, but super annoying.
Super annoying.
Especially if you have a website running on that and you're not paying attention.
Speaking of denial of service attacks.
Yeah, we talked about the robocalls, and I didn't get a lot for a while, and then last week I got like 5 in a day. So I don't know what weird calendar they're running on. But we learned that most of the time it's an annoyance, but sometimes it can be worse.
The robocalls are overwhelming hospitals and threatening a new kind of health. So this was a hospital in like Chinatown or somewhere, or one of them that they looked at. And it was getting so many calls that the switchboard couldn't keep up with it. And it was like some sort of robotic voice saying that it needs to know who you are or you're going to be deported. Which, if you're calling a bunch of numbers in Chinatown, maybe you would scare a Chinese immigrant that lives in Chinatown. I don't know. But the hospital couldn't function because when it's like, hey, you need to come help in surgery, or we got somebody in the OR that's, you know, or
bleeding out from a gunshot wound.
It turns out the hospitals really need their phones to work right. And so this is effectively a denial of service for the hospital because they got a lot of phone numbers.
4,000 in one day is what they got. What if there was like a concerted effort that everybody contacted the Washington Post all at once?
Just to get rid of that. We noticed you're blocking ads.
It's like, can you tell me more? I just don't understand. And just waste their time. When you browse on the internet, you are being tracked. And
that's why we run an ad blocker, it crashes.
If you don't think you're being tracked, load a bunch of tabs. Load like 20 tabs from news sites. And you will see the level of tracking that's going on. And now that's the kind of tracking that we know about, that is out, that's in your face. It's just smacking you. It's like, yes, I'm looking at everything you do. If you go to these websites, I'm here. You can't stop me. But there's a more insidious way to do it now.
JavaScript tells all, which turns out not to be so great for privacy. Side channel leaks can be exploited to follow you around the interweb. So this is things like, what's your screen resolution? What's the window sized to? What's your color depth? What plugins do you have available? What are the other parameters here? And so instead of it being, are you, it's, hey, what's the user that has this browser configuration with these footprints that takes this long to calculate this value that does this, and the other thing? And then it's like, oh, that's probably this person, because when you look at all those different variables, probably only one person has one computer that's exactly like that.
And they talk about Tor, which Tor comes bundled with a bunch of different stuff, right?
Yeah.
And because you're running all those different plugins and that configuration, that puts you in a much smaller list of people.
Yeah.
And then they can just take a couple of extra pieces of information and narrow down to exactly who you are.
A lot of bundled Tor browsers disable JavaScript for exactly this reason, because it's too easy to fingerprint the machine, even if you don't necessarily have a unique identifier that you can immediately get.
But Tor, they might have changed their minds, but I remember back in the day, they included a script blocker, but they wouldn't enable it.
Yeah.
Because they were too afraid that the normies would go to websites and be like, what's going on here? This breaks the internet. Because, you know, most sites don't work without JavaScript, which is sad. But you got to try to reach out and get the normies, you know? We know about that.
But we're really bad at it.
We've been trying.
We try. Yeah, see, we try a little bit. But it just, I mean, like the last thing we did that was supposed to appeal to normies was a puppet show about Intel, so.
I don't know why they didn't love that.
I don't know either. I liked it.
We tried. When you are on Facebook, you become a number. You have a Facebook ID. And people can link to that.
What a dark future if that becomes your social security number. It's like, I need to get my pension. Yeah. What's your Facebook ID?
It's like your Department of Corrections number. And the problem is, you get one of those IDs even if you're a child. And as we've learned, you're not supposed to track the little children. Because when they have an ID, something bad like this can happen.
The U.S. government has leaked the names of child abuse victims by failing to hide their Facebook IDs. So These are court filings that have been redacted. They contain the miner's initials, but not their names. But it contains their full Facebook ID. And so that ID, anybody, you can just plug it in at the end of Facebook.com and figure out what identity that is. So seems like an oopsie.
A pretty major oopsie.
They actually
it's not even Facebook's fault. It's the court system.
Yeah, they have this whole guideline about when you are submitting court documents. Did you de-anonymize all these different things? And this is in there.
Or anonymize all these things.
But I'm sorry. And whoever did this just simply did not. So these poor...
They probably didn't think about it. It's like, who on earth could convert that number back into an identity? And it was, well, it turns out anybody on the public internet could do that.
Well, they didn't think about it, except there's this document that says, hey, think about this. Make sure.
Listen, you just sign that and just move on. It's fine.
It's like the
lawyers understanding technology. What sort of parallel universe is this?
It's like an end user license agreement. That's what we've come to.
That's terrible.
The other thing that we've come to is the end of the episode.
It's very short.
Is it the end of the episode? I just got back from a thing and boy, are my arms tired.
21 minutes.
Ooh, that's not bad.
Well, it's pretty short. Everyone will be like, oh, but it's so short. Don't like so short.
Friday, we will have possibly an even shorter episode.
It's got nonsense. We'll probably goof off.
Robots and nonsense are two of the more popular.
They are.
These are shorter because I'm off gathering even more content for you. And we had a behind-the-scenes video that I posted on Patreon for the trip to L.A. And so this is going to be the trip to Hawaii, which is for the upcoming launch thing that's happening on 7-7. But I can't talk about it. Can't talk about it.
Are you going to get laid?
Uh-huh.